Welcome to Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro, powered by Beyond, where we dive heart first into all things events in the nonprofit world. Hi, I'm Amy Milne, your host and CEO of Beyond and the Nonprofit Event Collective, where we believe that your events matter. You're not just hosting an event, you're inviting people to join you in changing the world. We're here to talk tricks of the trade and share tales from the trenches so you can produce epic events that inspire participants, raise more money, and change lives. Let's dive in. I am beyond excited to welcome Shelley Mayer, founder and president of RAMP, a marketing and communications agency with a focus on transforming brands into human-centered, industry-leading agents of growth and change. I've had firsthand experience working with Shelley and her team over the years, first as a client while I was in-house at SickKids Foundation. And since I launched Beyond, we became colleagues, collaborators, and partners in crime in all things nonprofit events and marketing. Even better, Shelley is a dear friend outside of the sector. We have been friends for over 15 years, and she is one of the most caring and generous good humans I know. Shelley will always be straight with you, both in business and in friendship, a quality we love here on Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro podcast. I'm excited for you to learn from our conversation today, as I can promise you, there are so many gold nuggets waiting for you to collect and add to your toolbox. So let's get to it. Let's get real, Shelley. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited for this conversation. So I have had the pleasure of knowing you for years, both as a neighborhood friend with littles. I think we started our career working together at the Blantyre Public School Parent Council and got to know each other. And then we moved into an incredible professional relationship. And so I've had the pleasure of knowing you for years, but our good humans and listeners haven't. So please tell everyone about your amazingness.
Sure. Thanks. Well, I want to say, yeah, we probably got our start in events together, right? Doing fun fairs or
totally.
Something like that. So currently I'm the founder and president of RAMP Communications. Before I started that, I worked in the automotive sector. And one little fact, again, tidbit for you that you probably didn't know about me from my days in automotive was that back then my team was responsible for the dealer intro show. So that was a huge event, different city every year. We brought dealers together, introduced new products, updated them on business direction. And it was a huge week-long affair that involved all aspects of events and hospitality. So that was probably kind of the start in events for me. But in 2011, I founded RAMP, and we've been working in the social impact space for the last decade. So our purpose as a firm is to help clients amplify and scale their impact. On one side of our business, we work with nonprofits and charities. We do branding and communication strategy, which includes events, of course. But then in 2021, I launched another set of services that are more targeted to corporate clients and helping them become more purpose-driven and integrating social impact more holistically through their businesses, helping them partner better with charities and nonprofits to create value on both sides of the equation. So that's sort of the high level on what we do at RAMP.
Which is amazing. And I've seen so much of your work, and we're going to talk about that today. When you started your agency, what made you want to, like, did you know you wanted to get into nonprofit social impact? Was that on purpose? Did it just happen? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that when I was working in the automotive sector, some of the brand work that we were doing was really purpose-driven, and it was aimed at how we could communicate our company's purpose in conjunction with brand strategy. So this has always been like a bit of a passion area of mine from the earliest times that I was in marketing, branding, and advertising. You know, when I launched the business, obviously, you know, as many of us, when we launch small businesses, bootstrap it, you know, it starts out a little bit like you're taking pretty much any client that
you're like, help. I am here for you.
So it evolved a little bit at the beginning, but we were working with a number of charities and nonprofits, and I just saw a huge need in the area in that particular sector. I just found that there were so many organizations that were strapped for resources that didn't know how to apply strategy to the work that they were doing, to their communications work. I just saw so much opportunity for these organizations. And I really felt that it was a sector that we could dig into and help. And so the work just evolved from there. And that's really what we spent the better part of a decade working in, that charity and nonprofit space.
Absolutely. And I had the pleasure of being in a position at SickKids when I was a director of events there, as well. I was building products for them, event products for them. I had the opportunity to bring you on, and it was amazing. It was so great to see the change in level. What your organization and your expertise brings to the table was extraordinary in terms of what we were able to do and accomplish. And so just taking things up a notch in terms of what was to what, you know, marketing and branding can be in the social impact nonprofit space. And so I've had the pleasure of working with you on many events, and I know that you have some amazing events that you've worked on as well. And so please share with us some of the events that you've worked on in the marketing and branding space in terms of what you've seen and what have been some of your favorites and what have you learned and what have you seen in terms of some success for these orgs. So tell us some of your favorite nonprofit events that your group has worked on.
Yeah, sure. Well, as you said, you know, working together with your team, we've done a lot of work on the design and creative side around themes and visual identities and things like that. And I think, you know, the takeaway there is just if you want to charge a big ticket price and attract impressive sponsors, it really all has to look really good. And it has to look like it's going to be fun and be an experience. And that starts with your branding. So making sure that the branding lines up with the caliber of event that you want to hold, I think is really important. As well, when you have an event that year over year, you may keep, you know, Scrubs is a good example, keep the same name, Scrubs in the City, but you're trying to reinvent that experience every year. And the brand really is part of what helps convey that, the look and feel and what you put out to the world. So I think that's really important. And we've had a load of fun working on those kinds of events. We also, you know, similarly do some design and creative work for professional conferences and things like that. I guess digging back into the archives, when I, you know, was prepping for this conversation, when I thought, you know, about that, I was really proud of, links back to that core purpose that I mentioned. So we're really trying to help organizations scale their impact. And a number of years ago, we were working with the Canadian Mental Health Association, and just saw a huge opportunity. They were running an annual conference. The purpose of the conference was to bring mental health professionals together. Mm-hmm. But because of capacity limitations at their national office level, it wasn't being managed by the national office. So it was being punted around every year to a local host branch that was in charge of running the event. But you can probably immediately imagine some of the challenges that came with, I mean, not to say, you know, ultimately they pulled off some great events in those local regions. But the challenge was that, you know, the local staff were mental health professionals in most cases. So, you know, their focus was really on service delivery, and they weren't event experts. They weren't corporate partnership experts. And so it presented some limitations in terms of how they could execute that event. So difficult to plan for growth. It was hard to link to a national brand mandate for the organization, et cetera. So what I did was I went to the CEO and presented a new way forward, and I helped him build a business case that would let them create a brand aligned event that could be scalable and profitable event property. And in 2016, they launched the Mental Health for All conference, and that conference ended up subsequently running for 6 more years. So just really proud of that one, because I think it's about just thinking about things differently and thinking about what's possible differently. And even, you know, the way that we approached the project, the way we brought service providers together to help them do that when they had never done it before.
Well, and I think what's super, what I love, I mean, you have, there's so many nuggets of gold in everything that you just said. And one of the things, it's as much as, you know, us creating brands and things for others, for the outside world to see, but it's also so important for our internal. So, you know, this conference that you're bringing service providers to, for staff to see something that is smart and aligned and looks good and feels good, helps them as well. Like, it helps a whole organization internally when you've got a really nice outward looking face, right? I mean, when we dress up to go to work and to do the things that we do, and so to have a brand that looks good and you're proud to be a part of is huge as well. So Shelley, you've worked on, as you were saying, you know, what the great work that you did for CMHA, and you know how important it is, you know, to have a brand that people want to, you know, get behind and be excited about and see. And I know I've seen firsthand, I think I actually got to speak at one of those conferences in Toronto, which was a great opportunity. So I know that you've also done some other great work with some other, you know, the work we did together and then a couple others that you wanted to share. So tell us about those events.
Sure. I guess in the P2P category, which I know is a lot of your audience, one that I could talk a little bit about, we've been working with the Alzheimer's Society of Canada since 2020 on their IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's. And interesting how that one came about, but maybe not that surprising. So their big event season is May. Mm-hmm. And we had been engaged to do some other work with them and COVID happened back in 2020. And so they tapped into our team. We were, like I said, already engaged on some other work and really wanted us to help support them through the COVID pivot. Mm-hmm. And so much like everybody, it of course came to be a virtual event for 2 years. And I think the big benefits, you know, if we can say that about COVID was opening some of these events up to new audiences. So in this case, prior to 2020, they hadn't really done too much online recruiting for participants. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we did was put together an advertising campaign. We went really quick into market and helped to fill that participant gap because, as you know, for a lot of these grassroots walk type events, you know, the participant recruitment is coming from local branches that are doing recruitment through their networks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And just with how everything had changed, they really couldn't tap into that group the same way they used to. So It actually ended up being a really great way that they were able to expand their participant base and provide some national air cover to support that local recruitment and get new participants, like new people that were interested in virtual and, you know, maybe wouldn't have come out to an in-person walk. And you know, over the last couple of years, we've been continuing to build on that strategy with them.
Well, and I think what was really interesting about COVID and what it did do in terms of what people started thinking about their events differently. You had to see where your holes were, where your opportunities were, because if there's a hole, to me, there's always an opportunity. And it's a yes and to me in terms of, you know, you still have in person, and then the yes and there is a whole other community that wants to support you that can't always come out and participate in an event. So as the world is opening up again and live events are coming back, is the Alzheimer's Society, have they decided to just go all the way to in-person? Have they decided to have some virtual? What does that look like for them?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're excited to be able to get back into the in-person, but I think that some of the learning, and like I said, you know, some of the ability to engage new participants, definitely them and other organizations, I'm sure have built a lot more capacity and just learned about a lot of things that they, you know, didn't know how to put on maybe a streamed Facebook Live on event day that's capturing some of those people, didn't know how to offer through their fundraising platform an option to not physically be at the event, but you know, be showing your support virtually. So for sure, I think they'll be building on that in the coming years. You know, another thing it kind of opened up, and I don't know if you're finding this, but in some causes, there's this legacy thing that happens where the events are all happening on different days in different communities across the country. Mm-hmm. And it creates like some difficulty from an advertising and marketing standpoint because you don't necessarily have enough budget to cover those multiple thrusts of advertising. And so, and you know, another positive that came was, you know, around consolidation. And so they've seen more effort across the country to bring the events into a shorter time period and a more consistent time frame so that they can truly run it as like one large event versus many events scattered across the country. So I think that's been another learning and benefit.
And it's huge. Like when I was at the P2P conference a few weeks back, and consolidation is definitely one that's coming up. And I think, you know, when you say that, when we look for the silver linings that came from, you know, we're looking at some of these federated models that you and I from a marketing, you know, we're on Real Talk, so we're allowed to talk this way, but we look at these things from the outside and we're like, why does one event look like 10 different when it's like one cause, one type of event, but everything looks different from a marketing and branding. It's on a different day. They've got a different, you know, advertising campaign, and you just touched on that. So I think what is so magic about what's happening right now is some of the work that you and I started to do with some orgs, or, you know, had vision for that. People are starting to actually go, oh shit, We have to do that. Like we have to up our experience. We have to build relationships with people. They're not just going to show up. You know, our donor in 2 years who supports you might look different. So I think that consolidation word has been important for so many years, but I think it's vitally important for the success of any event moving forward. For sure.
100% agree.
We could probably soapbox that for a long time.
Yeah.
Given your, you know, now that you've been in this sector for over 10 years and you've helped so many organizations grow through their events and through, you know, the marketing and branding, what is some advice that, you know, for our good humans that are listening out there, you know, what is some tactical advice that you could share with them in terms of, you know, what they can do to make their events better?
Well, the first thing I think I would say is when you're creating your event concept, be strategic and make sure it's linked to your brand and your organizational strategy. So I think that it can really, there's often in nonprofits and charities, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, there's a lot of different stakeholders. And, you know, even sometimes events evolve from a particular funder or a sponsor. And it's really easy for someone else to be taking the lead on that narrative. And I think it's just incredibly important. You don't have a lot of money to invest typically in branding and in talking about your mission in the context that you want to. And the events provide that, right? So really making sure that every communication touch point related to these events gives you the opportunity to link back to your overarching organizational and brand strategy, I think is fundamentally important. I think, you know, just the COVID example, again, one thing that was really frustrating to me during COVID was all this emphasis people were putting on trying to communicate the virtual and explaining virtual and like, you can walk in your own neighborhood and all that. And, you know, I think like that really took away from communicating the cause and communicating the urgency for the fundraising. And I saw a lot of campaign materials that I found really frustrating during that time. So I just, that would be probably number one. I think another area is maybe getting back to that point that we were just talking about, which was do something big, do something different, like be brave. I think organizations need to have a larger imagination about what's possible and be less fixated on some of the constraints. You know, the CMHA example is a, you know, really good one that I gave earlier. We get stuck in what we've done before, what we know, you know, this board member founded this, so we can't change it, or we don't have the capacity, these kinds of narratives. And I think the great thing about events is inherently they're revenue driven. So if you build the right business model around the event and you put the right plan in place, then sky should be your limit. And if you don't have the support internally, you can staff the event team or, you know, create a plan that puts that support right in the business case for the event. So I would just like to see people be braver and bigger with what they're doing.
For sure. And I think to become, and I've talked to a few people about this, and there's a couple of things I want to unpack here. So in the one sense of, you know, being bigger and braver, what does that look like? I know what that looks like. So to be bigger and braver, I mean, I've done that. I sat at tables when I was in house, I've sat at tables when I'm out of house, and it's pushing people past where they are. So that comfort level, what would you say if you're, you know, what is that being brave piece look like to you in action?
I think it requires a champion usually. Somebody who's going to really, like, I've seen you do it in different situations. And I think that sometimes a lot of times nobody wants to be the one that sticks their, like, you know, is the one that really fights the battles, right? That's going to go to bat. Like it takes, and going back to that CMHA example, I think that it requires somebody to provide some context and structure and some vision for what's possible. And I think that that's part of it is imagine, like, what would be if we had no constraints? Like, what would be the most optimal thing we could imagine for ourselves or what we would consider wild success? And then just start, okay, what if we did that? Then what would that look like? And then it might become working backwards to putting an actual plan in place and being the one to champion and go forward and try to get more support and sell that plan through. and maybe find partners that can help you do it. Maybe find an example of another organization out there that's done something similar that you can hold up as a case study in your organization to say, hey, they tried it and they're seeing great success from this because. So I think it's that, like, you know, modeling and championing it and bringing the vision to the table.
And I think, and what I love, one of my favorite sayings, and I've shared this before, that a coach shared with me a long time ago that rings true to me in all of these conversations, the how is none of your business. And what that means is when you're sitting around that table thinking big, like, I love you use the word wild. And wild is so much more exciting than we can't or we don't have money, right? Like, it's like, it's looking at those big words so we think bigger. And sometimes what happens is we're sitting around those tables to be strategic and to be fun and be bigger. And then we get caught in like, well, how is that going to work? Well, we don't have the money for the software, or we can't do this. And all of a sudden, the how gets in the way of what that wild success could be. And I love that you use the word wild, because it just, it sort of like makes you think, like, you know, just sort of like smile a bit more and like, what is possible versus getting caught up in the how, which is where I think we've gotten stuck in this. I think every sector gets stuck in the how, but I definitely think the nonprofit and, you know, sector gets caught real quick in the, like, we can't. So all of a sudden the brakes go on when we go to be wild, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's like persistence, right? Like, you know, sometimes like the first person you suggest something to, or you're going to get naysayers, and recognize that you're going to have people that may not want to see change. I mean, that's classic change management as well. Like, understanding like who and whose interests may be different, and and how can you work to build support? Like, it's not necessarily going to be something that can happen overnight, but I think sticking like with an idea that you're passionate about and getting support from folks and just sticking with it can help too.
Yeah, I think persistence is huge. It makes me think of when we launched the Great Camp Adventure at SickKids. It was, you know, while SickKids Foundation was and still is this massive event, it's seen as this huge event, you know, machine in the nonprofit world. Well, we didn't, when I joined, we didn't really have a signature event, and that was my mandate. And, you know, I had an incredible leader at the time, Ted Garrard, who, you know, was hardcore on this, and he was going to make it happen. And, you know, on the days when people were like, what is this? I like literally wore the t-shirt to work. So I worked in a highly corporate environment, but I wore shorts and t-shirts to work because I was living the brand. I was wearing the camp t-shirt. And I think, you know, to emphasize what you're saying, sometimes you need to wear the camp t-shirt, and it's going to be uncomfortable. But if you believe in what you're doing and you believe in the work your organization is doing, then, and you believe in those ideas, then be that champion and throw that camp t-shirt on. Because if you're not going to, then someone else won't if they're not. But if you do, then the followers will come. The persistence piece is huge. And what do you see for national organizations and causes? I think that's the biggest one that's come out of, Becky Mitz, who spoke a couple of weeks ago, a couple episodes back. You know, she works for MS Society. It's now MS Canada. They're a big national org who have done some of the big work. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was quite interested in I listened to the episode where you had Becky on, and I was really interested. And I think one of the things that she cited as some of the reasons for success were this, you know, again, the word consolidation. We mentioned it earlier, but, you know, bringing some of their, I guess, moving from that federation model into a more singular organization and being able to have a unified view of the event, I think. And what I would like to see is just better, more coordinated effort to do really big things, do things at scale versus a lot of small things. You know, we've worked with many federated organizations over the years, and you get local organizations that are operating quite inconsistently from that national directive. And it just, I think we mentioned a few of the challenges with that, maybe in some of your earlier comments, is just like, you know, the brand consistency can not be there. It can be confusing for participants that, you know, maybe you're a family and you're spread across the country and you have people that live in multiple cities and you all want to get behind a particular cause. And, you know, yet every event is different in each different city. So I'd love to see causes come together more around their unified purpose and leave the complexity of their organization out of the mix for the participants.
Yeah.
And just like come together. And it's kind of partly back to the previous point about being brave or doing things bigger and doing things bolder. It's like, how could we do, like, if we add up, it's that sum of those small parts mm-hmm. versus like, what if we all worked together and did something really big? How much bigger could it be than we could each individually do? So, you know, I think that's a huge opportunity area for organizations.
I agree. And I think, you know, it's when you, as a logistically minded person, I want to always move A to B. I don't want to move, you know, the stuff from A to B to Z back to B when it just, it's like, if it's got to go in that truck, just put it in that truck, wait until it can be moved. And I think, you know, when I look at organizations, and this has always been a conversation for you and I over the federated models and people doing multiple things, is that, well, you think you're saving money, you're actually, one of your largest resources is time, mm-hmm. and the other one being money, that if everybody is doing the same thing in a slightly different way, you're actually wasting resource. Mm-hmm. Where, to your point, if everybody comes together, you probably have more than what you'll ever need to mm-hmm. put out something unified and great mm-hmm. and big and bold. Yeah. Because everybody's spending that money. So everybody's doing a different ad campaign. Everybody's mm-hmm. doing a different this, or they're paying a different staff person, where if you're mm-hmm. all sitting at the table and use the power of numbers in people, and then you put it out to the world, chances are you have all the money you need.
Yeah. And it's not just money, but it's skill sets. Like, totally. That's another thing, right? Like, if you looked at, like, when you take some of these organizations that are operating as silos across the country, and then you look at skill sets. So maybe like one team out west has somebody who's great at social media, and mm-hmm. someone else is somewhere in the east has somebody who's really great at corporate fundraising. And mm-hmm. like you think those skill sets, like the other, if those are shared, then how much more valuable is that? So it's like sharing dollars. It's like, mm-hmm. let's consolidate our ad spend instead of all bidding on the same terms in Google AdWords and bidding, driving up the like cost per click, right? So it's like money, it's effort, it's skills, like all of that can come together when people work together and collaborate.
Mm-hmm. Whether you're a big guy or a little guy or a big girl or a little girl, like all of it, I think it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's taking a look at where we can, I think consolidation is a big part of moving forward. And I believe it happened during COVID. What it exposed was the lack of consolidation, the too much. And now is a time to, our customer wants it. Our donor, our participant, they're expecting more and different. We're in a hospitality driven business if we're in the events world. So we've got to up our game and compete in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what, I think that, sorry.
Okay. No, I love it. I love it.
Is it's that participant too. It's mm-hmm. put the participant at the center, and what experience mm-hmm. are you creating for them? And mm-hmm. they don't care about the complicated politics of your board structure and your fundraising committee and your, you know, all of mm-hmm. that. So I think just sometimes the participant is getting lost in all of this internal complexity that is unnecessary.
And keeping it simple, and for that participant, because what do we need them to do? We need them to mm-hmm. register, buy a mm-hmm. ticket, fundraise, like very simple mm-hmm. things that will have massive impact. And so in terms of marketing and ad spend, and, you know, to wrap up some of your advice, when you're looking at that for events in particular or anything in this sector to do your advertising, what advice would you give to someone who's looking at, you know, investing in that, in their marketing and their branding and things like that?
Yeah, I think with this one, the opportunity I see is not thinking about the event in a vacuum. I think mm-hmm. we need to think about our brand and our organization and our message and how we're engaging people. And I see events and probably other activities throughout mm-hmm. the year as all different touch points with different supporters that are maybe parts of different segments and so forth. And so I think sometimes the way budgets get set and planned, oh, here's our event and this is our event budget and here's my advertising budget for my event. And, you know, we go to market, and I have you know, we have clients that come to us, like, we want to be in market 6 weeks before the event, and we want to push to get registrations, which is great. But then you're not speaking to those people again until 6 weeks before the event next year through advertising. And maybe there was someone who that date didn't work for them this year, but, you know, maybe they'll sign up next year. But now you've stopped. Like, I'm speaking about advertising, paid advertising specifically. I know, you know, organizations also have, but, you know, that person who clicked but didn't register, you don't have a way to connect with them unless you're continuing to put things in market. So leaning on maybe some of the interest, and, you know, it's a funnel, and our ad spend drives people who are interested in our cause into the top of that funnel. And some of them we convert and they turn into a participant for the event, but some of them we don't. But those people that came into the top of the funnel are still very relevant to our organization. So I'd love to see just thinking about planning for advertising and communications as a more of a year-round picture. It doesn't mean you're in market all year round. Like, I get that budgets are small, but it's just that total picture of how we communicate with people.
Well, and I think, you know, if you want to do big things, thinking small isn't going to get us there. And I think I'm hopeful, and I believe you are too, that as the world opens up again and evolves, and, you know, we get to be a part of it, given our seats at the table, is that in order to do big things, you can't think small. And so looking at things, you know, you can look at small things that need to be done that can be tweaked and changed, but you can't spend $20 and want to make $1 million. It just, it's just not a thing in any in any world.
Yeah, and I mean, that investment, it also, you know, you build on what you did last year, and it takes continuous investment. And I think the investment is important too. You can't produce new supporters with no way to reach them.
If you don't have anybody to ask for money, you can't raise money. Shelley, I think you and I could continue to talk about these topics, all of this, forever and ever. It's something you and I are both very passionate about. I am so grateful you joined us today at Real Talk. Thank you for being here. And if our participants, I'm like on the event train. If the good humans out there that are listening want to get a hold of you and check out all the good work you're doing, how do they do that?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a fun conversation. Like you said, I think we could keep going for a long time. The best way to reach me is you can find us on our website, ramp.agency. If you go there, you'll find links to connect with me. You'll find a Calendly link if you want to book a 15-minute consult with me. You'll find all of our social handles and everything there. So I would say that's the best place.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we'll link all that in our show notes, so people can get to you as quick as possible, because I know that 15 minutes with you is life-changing. So thank you for this time. And I don't think this will be the last time you'll be a guest on this show. So thank you again. Awesome.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Amy.
Thanks so much for listening and doing good in the world. We see you. We can't wait for you to join us next time when we hear from another good human who will share their story, along with tips and tricks that will help you execute extraordinary events that are sure to have a lasting impact on your participants, beneficiaries, donors, and colleagues. Make sure you follow Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review the show so other nonprofit event pros just like you can find our podcast so they too can create events that matter. Tune in next week to laugh, cry, and cheer with us on another episode of Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro. See you soon. Hey, good human. Are you hitting roadblocks with your events and marketing and need a bit of help to take it to the next level? We've got you. Sign up for our monthly hot seat coaching, where we will answer your questions live on the podcast. That's right. You'll get to join me, Amy Milne, and my colleague, Lisa Cohen, right here on Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro podcast. And we will share our expertise to help you with your specific questions. Sound good? Great. Fill out the quick form by following the link in the show notes, and we'll take it from there. We're stoked to have you on the podcast, good human listener, to guide you through your current challenges. Keep it real.